Welcome to the Explore Riverside Weekly Radio Show, the show that explores all the things that makes the City of Arts and Innovation a great place to live, work, and play. I'm Greg Lee.
And I'm Sharva Ingram. Joining us in the studio today is Al Zelinka, Community Development Director for the City of Riverside. Al, I understand you were selected from a national search just a few months ago, and we actually found you in our Southern California backyard, so we could call it, I guess, Fullerton. It's not that far away. But tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and your experience and where you came from.
All right. Well, Sharva and Greg, thanks for having me on this morning. And as you said, Sharva, I recently came from Fullerton, where I was community development director. My wife and son and I live in Old Town Orange. And so I'm...
Wait. You don't live in Riverside?
No, but I'm trying to talk my wife into
it. Okay. All right.
I'm trying. And
we'll help you out.
And it's been a wonderful experience being here in Riverside. By way of background, I'm kind of a country boy from Pennsylvania. Grew up kind of on a farm and a rural area. Moved to Phoenix when I was in middle school, and then went to school up in Flagstaff and back in New York. And ultimately ended up, I met my wife back in New York in grad school and ended up in California. And most of my career has been in the private sector, where I've served about 100, 150 cities in 28 states as a consultant to help inspire reinvestment in their cities. And about 5 years ago, I had the opportunity to shift gears, be at home a little bit more, and focus on one community, and that's with the city of Fullerton. And after 4 great years there, the opportunity kind of came in front of me to compete for the City of Riverside Community Development Director job, and I was thrilled by the opportunity to serve this great community.
All right, and here you are.
Well, we appreciate you coming down to the show today. We know you're a very busy man. Mm-hmm. I see you at City Hall all the time,
yep.
Running a meeting. You know, you talked about this community here. Well, why Riverside? What made you decide to work for the City of Riverside as our Community Development Director?
Yeah, well, there's lots of reasons, Greg. One is I have a family connection here. My wife's grandparents back in the early days, they got married at the Mission Inn. She's had family members live here in Riverside, and we come visit throughout the years. And what I look for in communities, I am not interested in working for just any city. I'm interested in working for cities that have a sense of heritage and a real strong sense of place, and also a pretty clear vision on where that city wants to go in the future. And Riverside has always impressed me as a city who has really strong leadership in the council, and the mayor has an incredible city fabric that's diverse, if you will. The whole bunch of different kinds of neighborhoods, got a great downtown, great business areas, as well as great natural environments and everything in between. And so the diversity of Riverside, its people, the diversity of its place, really combined with its vision for the future, made me want to be a part of this community. I'm motivated by making a difference in the communities I serve. And I felt that Riverside, if I was going to leave Fullerton for a city, another city, the city I was going to leave it for is one like Riverside, and Riverside has all that I was looking for.
Sorry about that, Sharva.
It's okay, go ahead.
Because there was a rumor I heard out there that you've written a book.
Yeah, a couple of books.
Yep. What are the topics of those books?
First one, it's called Safescape. It's how to create safer, more livable places through planning and urban design. And the second is called Placemaking on a Budget, how you can improve the sense of community and sense of place without spending a lot of money through planning and urban design. And both of those books are based on the School of Hard Knocks, what I've learned as a consultant and as former city staffer in the City of Phoenix. I learned a lot from working with different community members, different city leaders, different staff members about how things can happen or not happen because of planning and design. And so we put together best practices from around the country, both in the context of how do you inspire public safety through planning and urban design that's complementary with the police department's efforts. And then on the other side is when you have an area that needs revitalized, how can you do that without spending a ton of money? And just learned a lot of lessons throughout the country.
Well, we'll have to have a book signing one day, right?
Yeah. We will, yes. We'll have to figure out where we can do that. But let's go back to the basics. Just for our listeners who may not really understand, what is community development? Like, what areas of the city aspects do you oversee, and what is your role as the director?
Yeah. So in a really elementary sense, if you think about the city of Riverside, or any city for that matter, as being a place that's comprised of the built environment, the natural environment, the human environment, and the economy. And by and large, our responsibility in community development is around the built environment. It's dealing with planning and zoning, how the land can be used, how property can be used, and the nature, the basic nature of development that occurs on that property. Building and safety, how buildings are built so that they're structurally safe and accessible to people who need to use them. Code enforcement, which maintains property, private property, is intended to help maintain property for its intended purposes and its intended conditions to uphold quality of life expectations. We also have housing and homeless services, which addresses affordable housing for workforce and workforce housing, as well as homeless services for those members of our community that are most in need. Historic preservation in neighborhoods, as well as two lesser known pieces. One is called the successor agency to redevelopment, because as many listeners may or may not know, the state of California dissolved a major funding and financing tool for reinvestment, which is called redevelopment. And this successor agency's purpose is to unwind and wind down redevelopment as we know it.
Right.
And so those are the functions of community development. So we're really focused on the built environment and how to facilitate investment and reinvestment in that built environment.
Well, it sounds like you're the man for the job.
Yeah, it sounds like you have a lot on your plate. So as you're looking through you know, everything that you have underneath you, mm-hmm. what are some of your priorities and how do you plan on moving forward with those priorities?
Right. That's an excellent question. Within the context of the city's economic development objectives, as well as the expectations to maintain a really high quality of life in Riverside, there's three priorities that we have. First, and this is all within a two-year period, much of which will occur in the first 6 months of my tenure. First is aligning our department with the other city departments to achieve the economic development and quality of life goals of the city. And that means everything from fixing a lot of broken pieces to putting in place new attitudes and new perspectives on how to work with our customers and our the public that we serve.
So I'm going to interrupt real quick for listeners that that's kind of become City Manager Scott Barber's mantra, is that we are all city employees, no matter what you're doing, are in the business of economic development. So that's great to hear.
Yeah,
you say
so
right there.
So our entire team is focused on, as City Manager Scott Barber says, jobs, and to facilitate investment in this built environment. The second part of our priorities, once we focus on this alignment, is integrating technology and private sector services. So the degree to which we can, and we're integrating it right now, is bringing in new tools, technological tools, to help investment occur easier and use staff more efficiently. So we're in the next handful of months, we're going to be installing a new online plan submittal and plan check system. So you don't have to come into City Hall. You can just send your files online, and we will review those plans interdepartmentally, all the departments of the city, online, and get our comments back to applicants. So we're working on the technology side of things.
That's a really big change.
Yeah.
Because right now, you want to talk about the process now. What is it? If I have plans for a new building, I come to City Hall, go to your department, and
drop off, I don't know exactly how many copies, but it can be 10, 15 copies, very thick, heavy paper copies of your building plans, and then they have to route throughout all the city departments, and all the city departments make their comments on the plans, and then someone has to compile them into a single set of plans that then go back to the applicant, and the applicant has to make their changes and then submit them back, and then we have to do that all over again. And it's a very cumbersome, inefficient process. And now that we have technology, we can use it as a tool to make things happen much faster.
Yeah, a great example of that is our bidding process. So the city came up with a couple of years ago a process where someone can submit everything for a bid online. Mm-hmm. So for planning, we're not only talking about efficiencies, we're talking about savings in actual dollars, because these papers, and you're right, we're talking thick reams of paper coming back and forth across the counter. That's a ton of savings.
When we rolled it out, Greg, in Fullerton, we talked to a lot of developers, and one of the developers on a relatively small residential tract said that they were going to save between $60,000 and $100,000 of reprographics and labor costs by using this system. And then the last point is inspiring reinvestment. Rather than us, our department, waiting for people to come to us, we're also going to use our networks and the people that we know to be an active part of the economic development team, in alignment with the economic development team, to bring investors into the city and encourage those investors already here to come do business in Riverside.
Which is just another great aspect of economic development. I like that, inspiring reinvestment.
You wrote it down.
All right, I saw that. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we'll continue our discussion with Community Development Director Al Zelenko right here on Explore Riverside Weekly.
It's time to tee it up for the less fortunate families in the city of Riverside. The Smart Riverside Annual Charity Golf Tournament is Monday, October 10th, Columbus Day. Come join us for a fun-filled day of golf at the beautiful Victoria Club in Riverside. This event raises money for the nonprofit programs of Smart Riverside, including the Digital Inclusion Program, where Smart Riverside gives free computer systems to low-income families in the city of Riverside. Last year, over 120 golfers and almost 100 sponsors helped raise over $45,000. The tournament features 18 holes of golf, long drive and closest to the pin prizes, plus surprises at each tee. Sponsorships are still available for this amazing event. Please call 951-826-5109 or visit smartriverside.org for more information or to register. Remember, we all deserve the opportunity to learn and excel. Please help us to offer these opportunities to the less fortunate in our community. We'll see you at Victoria Club in Riverside, October 10th.
AM 590, The Answer.
Hello, and welcome back to Explore Riverside Weekly. My name is Greg Lee, and our guest today is City of Riverside Community Development Director Al Zelenko. So, Al, you had a workshop on the visioning for downtown nightlife and entertainment, which is really close to my heart. So tell us a little bit about that. What was the goal? Who participated in this process? And really, what is it all about?
Well, Greg, there's an interest in the community, the business community and the downtown community, as well as in the city leadership, to help create a 24-hour active downtown, a downtown where people of all ages and interests live and work and play and all that, all those various dynamics that downtowns can embrace. And one component of that is downtown nightlife and entertainment. We can think of many places. Sometimes it's referred, downtown Fullerton is referred, or you can think of an extreme of LA Live as another entertainment environment, or there's tons of them around the country. But one of the in the spirit of Riverside's commitment to arts and innovation, a component of that is, how do we create a great downtown nightlife and entertainment? And what's important in that conversation, which was the nature of the workshop yesterday, was, what does that mean? What does that mean to the community? Is it anything goes, or is it more focused? Is it a certain type of entertainment and nightlife? Is it a broad range of uses at night? And what we did yesterday was we did basically three things. We educated about 50 people who were able to attend the workshop about how does how does nighttime entertainment and nightlife occur in other cities? And so that was one part. The second is what we through about 50 or 60 images, we ran through a preference survey of what would you like to see and what is appropriate for downtown Riverside. And people ranked them on a scale of 1 to 5. And then we broke the community up into, I think it was 4 or 5 groups, and they had maps in front of them, and they defined what they thought were the districts or areas in which downtown nightlife and entertainment should be concentrated. So that input is going to be combined with future workshop input that is yet to be scheduled, but we're going to be having the workshop, have a workshop, a similar workshop in the evening to invite more input. And then one of the things that really came out of it, Greg, is it's very easy to, in relative terms, to define where the nightlife should occur and what it entails. The challenges, and this is my direct experience as a city staff person in Fullerton, having seen 7,000 to 15,000 people on a Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night come into downtown, and understanding the implications of that, from is then we're going to spend an equal amount of time, if not more, talking about with the community and all the various interests about the clean and safe strategy that needs to be put in place to support a vital nightlife and entertainment district, and one that contributes to economic development but doesn't sacrifice quality of life. Because what we've learned in Fullerton in real terms is when you don't think about that, there's some real financial and quality of life implications. And so our intent is not to go slow in moving this, but to go thoughtfully and to make sure that that we achieve a healthy downtown nightlife and entertainment district that addresses real and potential issues with respect to maintaining a clean and safe environment, and then making sure that the funding mechanisms are in place to fund that clean and safe environment so that people of all backgrounds and all ages can be comfortable in that nighttime environment and not be wanting to come back time and time again.
So if I'm a resident business owner, I'm hearing you talk about this, and I missed the first workshop, but I want to get involved. Can I? And how would I go about finding out more information or knowing if I can get involved?
Yes, you can get involved. And what I would suggest is to log on to the city's website, www.riversidecA.gov or exploreriverside.com, and we will post the downtown specific plan workshops on there and announce them.
Okay.
So
now, because a 24/7 vibrant downtown entertainment district sounds sexy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody wants that.
Yep.
I mean, it has the opportunity to become a huge economic driver for a city. If you look at downtown San Diego, Gaslamp District, people know what that is.
Yep.
But as you said, at the same time, the challenge is how do you balance that with public safety? How do you balance that with not spending more on city services? And Riverside is unique because it has the historic Mission Inn, our crown jewel, sitting in the smack dab middle of downtown.
Yep.
For some people, entertainment for downtown is Mario's, it's Duane's. But for a large population, you know, with 3 colleges, universities, it's the college students coming down here.
Yep.
How do you manage that? How do you manage the Mission Inn, the college students, the bars, trying to bring pubs into the mm-hmm. downtown district and keep everybody happy?
Right. Well, I mean, that's the challenge. That's the $100 question. And that's why we need to have healthy conversations about that. The techniques are there. So for instance, in sensitive receptor areas or sensitive areas like the Mission Inn, where we have guests staying there, potentially from out of town, who want to get a good night's sleep, for instance, maybe the entertainment uses around there need to be such that they're quieter. There's less music or less noise spilling out, if you will, into the streets around those sensitive uses. In other areas, there may not be as many sensitive uses. Maybe there's a district closer by the freeway or away from the Mission Inn, as an example, or other hotels or other neighborhoods where it could be a more vibrant nighttime environment with more noise, if you will, or music emanating from within the businesses. The key, though, is to keep an orderly public realm. And that's going to require not just police, but training of all the security guards that work in all the businesses and making sure they're all certified by the Riverside PD. And then increasing our downtown ambassadors so that the police have additional eyes and ears on the streets to help make sure that there's an orderly, safe environment. There's lots and lots of examples out there that we can, of lessons learned that we can bring to the table to address that question. But what we really need to zero in on is what's important to the community and in what areas of the downtown. And then we can create regulations and supporting programs to make that clean and safe level of expectation happen.
So once these workshops are done and we've yep. got the input and you've, uh-huh. I'm assuming, developed a plan like of uh-huh. what this nightlife would look like, what's the next step in actually making it happen?
So then what we're going to have to do to make it happen is it's a range of things from a regulatory standpoint, a planning and zoning standpoint. We're going to have public hearings with the Planning Commission and the City Council to officially adopt these new regulations. And from the management side of things, we have to work with the Riverside Downtown Partnership and all the businesses to implement whatever the funding strategy is for the Clean and Safe program. If it's determined that there's a greater need of maintenance that's required or a greater need of security or public safety, then we'll have to work with the business owners and the property owners and the downtown partnership to implement that funding strategy.
And then Greg and the other economic development staff get to go to work on
promoting and bringing these businesses in.
That's
absolutely.
Right. That's right.
Yep.
Very nice.
Yep.
All right. So you mentioned earlier we were talking about the different aspects of community development and what you oversee, and code enforcement came
yep.
up, which can sometimes be a bad word out there
yeah.
to certain people. They don't really understand the job and yeah. what their end goal is and why they're out there and writing these right. tickets. So can you give us a little insight to that?
Yeah. So in a nutshell, it's the simple idea that this city and this city council recognizes the importance of preserving a high quality of life. And part of that is the expectation for quality of life often is defined by the city's codes, the city's laws, if you will. And to make sure that quality of life is achieved, code enforcement is one of the many departments that has that responsibility, in addition to the city attorney's office. So code enforcement, for instance, addresses things like helps implement the city's neighborhood livability program, addressing illegal group homes, parolee boarding houses, unlicensed massage parlors, homeless encampments, a lot of similar topics, as well as public health items like stagnant water in pools that are breeding grounds for mosquitoes. So code enforcement, while you're absolutely right that, Sharva, that code enforcement often doesn't get a positive reception, it plays an important role in maintaining a basic level of quality of life that people expect. And what I would encourage is that anyone out there that has a concern in their neighborhood or business district, just simply dial 311 and voice that concern, and it'll be confidentially treated and anonymous. And secondly, code enforcement staff is always available to come out and talk to community groups or individuals about what code enforcement does.
And they seem like a great bunch. I see them on the elevators in the morning getting ready to head out, and then when they come back in from the end of the day. And so it seems like you have a really good team there.
Yeah, we do.
You know, we could talk all day with you, Al. I'll have to bid, but we have to wrap things up because that's all the time we have for this edition of Explore Riverside Weekly. Al, I want to thank you again for coming out. We're going to have to get you back on the show. So tune in to Explore Riverside Weekly every Saturday afternoon at 2:30, brought to you by the City of Riverside. And please visit us on the web at exploreriverside.com.